God, we thank you for blessing us, for giving us your word. We ask now that we would have a clear mind and take in what you have to share with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As Phil was sharing, we're in the book of Jude on Wednesday nights. And it's a book for the church today. Jude, we went over this when we were going through it, sat down to write a letter to the church. And he was going to write the letter concerning their common salvation. And isn't it good to sit down with someone and talk about your salvation and the things you have in the Lord? But as he was about to write, and we see that in verse 3 in Jude, as he was about to write, God spoke to him and he changed his theme. It'd be as if you were writing a letter and then all of a sudden you thought of something else that would really help this person, and you went on that track, and that's what the letter's about. And it was about false teachers and about being ready to share the gospel because there's false teaching in their midst. And that's why it's so pertinent to today. I just want to read you one verse from there. Verse 4. He says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, people were creeping into the church and started to bring in false doctrine. How does someone creep in unnoticed? Only if someone is sleeping. The church might have been sleeping, and a great part of it today might be sleeping. We need to be awake and presenting the gospel because people need Jesus. No one's going to get to heaven without Jesus Christ. It's a matter of life and death. Would you rather have $10 billion or the Lord Jesus Christ if you had your choice? Jesus. You see, because this is all going to end. But where you go is very important. And the two pieces of armor today kind of cover that. How we should be dressed in this armor, walking around to present truth to people and be effective. We need to not be sleeping as the church all over the world, but we need to be bringing that gospel to people. If you love someone, you want them to be with you in heaven. And that's why we share, so they can be in heaven with us. As a Christian, when you're truly born again, we went over this last couple of weeks, while you're here on this earth, you will always be engaged in spiritual warfare. You can't say, well, I quit, or I retreat, or I don't want any part of it. You can't remain neutral. You're a believer or an unbeliever, and if you're a believer, you have been enlisted into God's army, you're a soldier for Christ, and you've been put on the front lines. And so we need to know that the battle is on, and the battle is for souls. The battle's for souls. But the good news is that we have good news. Isn't that great? We have something to offer people. We can't just say, well, do the best you can, or everything's going to work out. You know how the world talks? That's baloney. That it's someone from the world, you know, maybe before you were Christian, just come over and put their arm around and say, hey, it's all going to work out. And it didn't work out? That happens. Because it only works out when you have the Lord in your life and he helps you. You see? In Romans 8, verse 37, it says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us, Jesus Christ. Isn't that great to be told you're more than a conqueror? I would rest a lot more if I knew at the beginning of the game I'm watching on TV if I know who won. You could really enjoy it. I hate close games because you never know who's going to win and you get drained. But if you knew, you could just laugh it all off. Say, oh, that looks bad. You know, 75 points bad, but they're going to win. Wow, miracle. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. The Lord loves us, and he's given us battle armor to put on to fight against Satan and his followers. How was your week this past week? Did you notice you were on the battlefield? No, did you experience attack? Did you have tribulation? Well, it's going to happen. But how did you do? Did you put on the whole armor of God? And here you are today and you're saying, wow, that was a great week. I can't believe it. The Lord provided and got me through. Remember this, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, keep the whole armor of God on. And verse 13, you will be able to withstand the enemy and you'll end up standing. Last time we covered the belt of truth. We have truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Today, two more pieces of armor. The good news is they're not fleshly made. They're God's armor. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Number one. Another piece. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on your feet the right shoes. Shoes are important. They're shoes for all kinds of things. You don't run the 100 meter in high heels. Some do, I guess. I don't know. But you wear different shoes for different things. When you want to stand in a slippery place, you put on boots with some grips underneath. You see, he's talking about wearing the right shoes. The Roman soldier would wear sandals, as you can see on your handout, but they had hobnails in the soles to give them better footing for the battle. Little things underneath, so that you could stand. It's a lot easier than wearing slippery shoes on a bottom, smooth shoes. See, they could stand. We want to stand. He was able to withstand the enemy. You know, the scout motto is be prepared. So we're prepared for the battle we're in. Having the gospel of Jesus Christ on your feet, knowing we're saved, knowing it's truth, and standing on it and ready to present it to everyone else. To let them see we're standing, because we're standing on a solid foundation. Like Jesus said, hey, you build your house on the sand and you're not going to stand. Your house is going to go away because floods and wind and rain are going to come and it's going to wash away. But if you're on that solid foundation, you're going to stand on the Lord, his word. So we have the gospel of Jesus Christ on our feet. And the second piece we're going to cover today is the shield of faith. That's a defensive weapon. The shield of faith. Protection. See, the enemy comes at us with a false gospel and with a thing called doubt. You notice that, how he comes at us? With doubt. As soon as something happens in our life, he comes with doubt. Does God really love me? Do all things work together for good to those that love God? Are all these things true? Doubt. I can remember being an early Christian, not knowing much, you know, not fully grounded yet. Something would happen. I'd say, well, that verse wasn't meant for me. It's true for everybody else. Did you ever feel that? It's true for everybody else. That verse doesn't apply to me. It just doesn't work out. Well, it does. We just weren't mature enough. You see, two pieces of armor today. Wear good shoes that will enable you and I to stand as God desires. And we have on our feet the first one, the gospel of peace in verse 15. The gospel of peace. In this battle for souls, this battlefield we're on, our feet will take us into enemy territory. We're not going to stay on safe ground. You're not going to live, work, eat, play, and do things in a Christian environment. We're not here to do that. We're to put the gospel of peace on our feet and get out there with it. That's why we're here. It takes us into a lot of areas where the enemy is having his way. It's the world system, those guided by the enemy. You know, it's not like we would choose to go there, but that's where we live, and that's where God wants us to be. God doesn't come to save. Jesus didn't come to save the saved. You see, he says, I didn't come to those that are well. They thought they were well, but I came to those that are sick and are in need of a physician. He came for the sick, the lost sinner, to save them. That's why he came. And Satan, the prince of this world, he spreads a counterfeit gospel. Everything God does, he has a counterfeit. And he can make it look good. But it's not good news at all. Because death is at the end of the road. You're going to die or go into rapture. I'm going to die or go into rapture. Because the death rate is still 100%. It will happen. The question is, where do you want to go? Where do people want to go later? I want to go to heaven. You, I believe maybe all of you here want to go to heaven. That's good. But we know there's only one way, and that's through the gospel. So we need to bring that to other people. We can't take an attitude of, well, let them live the way they want and do what they want to do and believe what they want to believe. That's cool. We're all okay. It's not okay. Our heart should break for the lost. Not anger and bitterness and hate, but love for the lost, which constrains us to share with them and to live it out before them, our gospel that we believe in. Because that the enemy, he's a liar. The Bible calls him the father of lies. And he wants people to join him in hell. And I can guarantee you this, there's no party in hell. All your friends may be there, but they're not partying. No party there. There's no gospel of peace there. No good news there. But we have our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Isn't that wonderful? It's a gospel of peace. I have found real peace through Jesus Christ. And I have made peace with my God. Isn't that wonderful? To have peace with God and to not wonder every day what's going to happen to you when you die or how's it going to be or have fear. I have made my peace with God. That's so wonderful to know that. Though the earth be removed, mountains cast into the sea, I'm okay. My God lives and he's going to bring me to heaven. And I'll see you there, you that believe. We'll probably see people there we didn't think would make it, but they gave their life to the Lord. And we're not going to see people we thought would because they weren't truly born again. They were just good people, but not godly. The gospel of peace we have to have on our feet and not compromise. Tell people the truth. And the gospel of Jesus Christ brings peace to you, to me, to the lost sinner, if they receive it. What a happy day it was when I gave my life to the Lord. Peace. There aren't words to express it. But we just found the truth. And all of a sudden, we're going to heaven. The day before, we weren't. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. I made peace with God. He's not some man upstairs. He's my daddy, my father. Treat him that way. He's your father, your loving father in heaven. Think of him that way. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's good news. That person can make peace with God, our maker, the one who created everything. The gospel of peace brings hope to the lost sinner, to the worst offender, to the worst person in the world. We can preach the gospel and they can be saved if they so choose. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how bad they are, their sin can be forgiven. They can become a new person in Christ. You can look at an addict, a person down and out, homeless, the worst condition in life in a third world country, and they probably feel they have no hope, and people write them off and say, you have no hope, you're a loser. But we have the privilege to walk up to that person and say, do you want to go to the best place you could ever go? And that's heaven, and spend eternity with God and just have a great life. And we get the chance to share that with them. And if they receive, they're a victor. Their sins are forgiven and they're going to heaven. It's for everybody. Isn't that great? You maybe don't have money to give them. You maybe don't have a house to put them in. You maybe can't offer them anything else, but you can give them the most important thing in life, and that's salvation. That's wonderful to have the gospel. Everywhere you go, have these shoes of the gospel on our feet. Everywhere we go, into enemy territory, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We don't have to be afraid. We can take Jesus wherever we go. Don't leave those shoes in church and put the worldly ones back on when you leave. You keep the whole armor of God on every day. You go to bed with it, you wake up with it. Because you could wake up in the middle of the night full of fear and doubt and then remember, oh, no, faith. I've got peace. I've got the Lord. I've got truth. And you put it on. You apply it because you already have it on. You see, we never take it off. If you do, because you go into a dark place, you're in trouble. You keep it on. It brings hope to you and to all those around you. You see, what a relationship you and I can have with God. We can be his sons and his daughters and call him Father. Isn't it wonderful when you make peace with a person? Maybe today you're not getting along with someone and you don't know how it's going to be healed. Isn't it great when all of a sudden something works out and it's healed? It's like a 1,000-pound weight off your back. That's how it is when you make peace with God. Just all the sin is gone. It's forgiven. Wow, I can talk to God at any time. Whatever I'm going through, and he hears me, I'm so blessed. It's wonderful to have peace with God. I don't have to be afraid and say, well, I don't know if God loves me or not. I don't know if I am worthy to approach him, or I don't know if I've been good enough today or yesterday. I don't know. I don't want to bother God. I don't know what he thinks of me. When you give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become his son and his daughter, and you have a daddy-child relationship. And he will never give up on you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? It's good to be able to tell other people that are down and out and needy and in all kinds of conditions. We made our peace with God and we can share it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have hope, we have joy, we have peace, all because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? I think we focus too much on what we don't have in life rather than how much we do have. We as Christians have a lot. And that's the things we should keep our mind on. We have peace with God. And we have the hope of glory. That's great. One day I'm going to be in glory. And in glory, it's going to be glorious. But this only happens through faith in Jesus Christ. Please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn ahead from Ephesians to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him, by Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Jesus presents us to the Father holy and blameless. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of people you can't just get in and get an appointment with and talk to, especially our leaders. You can't just get in and talk to them. But if you know somebody that's the relative or close to them, they can bring you in, can't they? They can go right up to the door and say, hey, let me in. You know, oh, you're his son. Go right in, and you bring whoever you bring with you in. That's what Jesus did. You want access to the Father? Follow me. Here you go. Talk to God. Isn't that wonderful? That's the gospel we have. Our feet need to be wearing the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our feet need to be anchored in Christ and prepared for the battle. You know, this battle that we're in is, when you talk about having things on our feet and the sword and the shield and all that, this is telling us that it's hand-to-hand combat. It's not at a distance, firing missiles at each other or guns. We're in hand-to-hand combat. Right there, face-to-face. We need to be prepared with the gospel of peace, ready to go everywhere with the true gospel and with our faith, because we're in a battle. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, you will lead a defeated Christian life. I know that through experience. We all do. When we don't have the whole armor of God on, we're not very tough, are we? We become nothing right away. Weak, because we are weak. But when we have the armor of God on, we can deal with this hand-to-hand combat. And we're going to stand. You see? So we need to be prepared and take this battle, defeat the enemy, lead souls to Christ, have our feet prepared with the gospel, ready to share it. The gospel is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. If a person doesn't make peace with God through Jesus, they will never have peace with God and they'll never find God. People say, I'm searching. Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no way to the Father but through me in John 14:6. So we can immediately share with people, well, you're never going to find it. You're going to continue searching till the day you die. Have fun. But it won't be any fun. You're only going to find that way that you're searching to reach God through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ, once they receive it, will bring peace to them. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? He loves you and I so much, he gave his Son to die for you for your sins so that you can go to heaven. But he's the only way. See, we go with the gospel of peace on our feet because the Satan, the devil, his followers, preach a false gospel. You see, they say be tolerant of all beliefs. They're okay. Accept it. They'll teach you that in schools, in universities. Humanism. Everybody's okay as long as they really believe in it. Go for it. There are many ways. Well, not many ways to the Father. I don't know what they're talking about. Ways to what? Many ways to what? There's only one God. And there's only one way to reach him. Satan will attack with, there are many ways to God. All religions are good. Accept all faiths. He'll attack with, don't cause trouble. Don't say anything. Even though they're spreading lies, and they don't know the Lord. Don't make waves. Don't preach. They are good people. They won't perish. That's what Satan told Eve in the garden. If you eat of that fruit, you're not going to die. What did God say? You're going to die. You'll know good and evil. Sin will enter the world. Physically, you'll start dying. She bit. The biggest lie. See, the enemy will say, don't stir up strife. Keep the peace. when in fact Jesus is real peace. He doesn't want people to have real peace, the enemy. See, Jesus will set a person free. So, Christian, we keep the shoes of the gospel on our feet, prepared, and know it. And wherever we go, at home, at work, with friends, enemies, families, don't change our shoes. We don't change our shoes. It's there. You know, even when we're among people of other faiths, remember, they need Jesus. The only way. They need a Savior. See, the true gospel isn't about being peaceful with our fellow man. That'll happen automatically. The true gospel isn't about having peace with our fellow man. It's not about getting along with everybody. It's about making your peace with God. And that's where it matters. It's all about making our peace with God so our sin can be forgiven and we can go to heaven. You know, if all the world loves you, the Bible says, then you got a little problem because you fit in. When we walk with the Lord, people will not like us. It's very common today. Very, very evident today how there are certain people that don't love Christians, that hate Christians, that are out to kill Christians. We see that today in our day and age. Just because we're a Christian. Isn't that sad? Just because we love Jesus and want others to be saved. We need to be prepared and don't give in to compromise. Everyone needs Jesus. Are your feet beautiful? You don't have to answer that. But just think about it. Are your feet beautiful? Well, do you want beautiful feet? Maybe you're saying, yeah, I'd like beautiful feet. Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, someone sharing? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Here's what God has to say. Oh, what beautiful feet you have, Marianne, Virginia, whoever you are here. What beautiful feet you are, because everywhere you go, you preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. See, all that matters is how does God see your feet? And he doesn't see stinky, ugly feet. He sees beautiful feet prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to bring good news to someone, bring them the news of Jesus Christ. And do it in a way where you share God's love with them. The next piece of armor, the second piece we're covering today, verse 16, Ephesians 6. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You and I will sink without faith, just like Peter was sinking when he got his eyes off the Lord. Now, this is not talking about saving faith here. We're saved as Christians. He's speaking to the church. This is the practical living faith, the faith we live with each day, faith in God and his word. We had faith in salvation. Now we have living faith, our daily living faith in our God, where we put our complete trust and confidence in the Lord. We believe in him and his every word. We just believe it. Even if it doesn't make sense to us, we don't lean on our own understanding. We believe in our God and his word. So what would Satan's weapon be? Doubt. Doubt. And they're in the form of darts. I don't know if any of you ever played darts. I played darts. You know, you throw them at the dartboard. You don't throw them at people or it hurts. If somebody gets in the way or they're taking one out and you throw it, oh! He throws darts at us. Doubt. A dart, you know, a dart may get us to lean on our own understanding or what we feel or hear or think. Ouch. Couldn't be true what God said. All things aren't working out for good. This hurts. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We must live our life by faith and not by sight. It can look bad to us. It looked bad to every disciple of Jesus Christ on Good Friday. It says his disciples forsook him and fled at the cross. No one stayed. They thought it was all over. But on Sunday, guess what? They said, it's true. He rose just as he said. Isn't it easy to have faith after the fact? I have a very strong faith once things work out. What about you? It's so easy to believe after they work out. We're to have faith. That's not faith. That's sight. We're to have faith up front. And it gets you through that agonizing period. What they should have been saying on Friday is, we're staying right here, man, because Sunday's coming, the third day. And I want to see him rise. You see, faith. Don't doubt. Even death doesn't change anything in God's eyes. His will be done if he has to raise you from the dead. That's how Abraham was able to offer up his beloved son, Isaac, who he really loved. God gave him this child in his late age. He says, offer him up to me on the altar. And it tells us in Hebrews, he was able to do it because he believed God that he was going to have heirs through Isaac, so that he knew if God had to raise him from the dead, he would. That's faith. You don't figure it out in your mind. You just know it's going to happen, God, because God's going to do it. You know, and so as we read verse 16, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You and I are dartboards. He's got this stuff ready for us every day. So you wonder, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, when is this going to be over? He's never going to stop firing darts. But we have the armor of God. Isn't that great? What good are darts when I have an armor on? You'll be able to quench those fiery darts that he's throwing at you. What good is a dart thrown at me if I have a full body shield on? Wasted darts. It will hit the shield and fall to the ground. No faith, and guess what? I'm hit. If I don't have that shield, my arm's tired. Ah, I got it. Do you think that the enemy's not watching? Above all, now in verse 16 it says, above all, take the shield of faith. It doesn't mean this above all doesn't mean it's more important than or of more value than. It means it's superimposed over, distributed over all. This is the protection. I simply believe God. Part of my armor is the shield of faith, not my own understanding. When God told Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child, you're going to be 100 years old, your wife's going to be 90, you just say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to name him? Not, oh, no, that's never going to work out. When the Lord says your sins are forgiven, we say, praise the Lord. Don't let the enemy get in there and say, who do you think you are? You're not good enough to go to heaven. And you can say, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of here. By grace I am saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful to be able to do that? Faith. Satan is throwing these fiery darts at you and I. Temptations, things we see and can get involved in and fall to. Things come at us to test our faith, trying to penetrate us. This impossible situation comes over. Look at in Noah's day, a flood was going to come all over the whole earth. Only Noah and his kids believed it here. And he built an ark. And they mocked him, made fun of them. Noah believed, it tells us, And by faith, an ark, a flood, what is that? That never happened before. This was new in the world. For all we know, it still is like Genesis, where a mist used to come up out of the earth and water the earth every morning. Not like storms and rain and things. And people are probably saying, are you crazy? This guy's crazy. He's out in the desert building this wooden thing called an ark. Guess who was saved? Noah. It doesn't have to make sense to us or to other people, but all things do work together for good. Some things, darts thrown at you by the enemy, look scary, fierce, stormy. And you don't know if you're going to make it at times. And they will penetrate and hit you if you don't have that shield up. But as you trust in the Lord, as I trust in the Lord with all my heart and don't lean on my own understanding, and I have that shield of faith up, I am safe. Sometimes that fiery dart can get so close to you. Now, picture this, the shield of faith, if you have your picture there that we passed out. That's right in front of them like this. So what does that tell you? That's going to get pretty close. That's going to look pretty dangerous and scary. And that's the way it is sometimes. That shield of faith is just right there in front of you. It gets so close, you can feel the heat and smell it. But it hits the shield right in front of you and falls harmlessly to the ground with faith. You see? I can remember you go to the zoo or somewhere, and between the animals and you sometimes you can get up so close, but then there's a glass window, right? And sometimes you can be looking and things are kind of, but then when something jumps at you, ah! But then you realize, wait a minute, there's a window there. And so you get kind of brave and kids start making fun of the animal and all, and it's jumping at them. They don't have to worry. There's a shield right there. That's the way it is with the devil. It can get so close to your body, but it protects you, the shield of faith, which tells us, did you notice how many times these trials and tests get down to the last minute? We see the dart coming from afar off, this trial, this thing in our life, and it's way out there, and we're praying and praying. And then God's not working it out yet, and it's coming, and it's coming, and it's coming, and it gets right up to your nose, and you keep your faith on, and boom, and it falls to the ground, and you made it. That's the way it is. There's no weapon formed against you and I so fiery, so sharp, a dart that it can penetrate the shield of faith. None. The Roman soldier would use this shield, and sometimes a large shield, and be fully protected in battle. Now, what is the purpose of a shield? To stop spears, arrows, darts, missiles from hitting you, from hurting you. This talks about the fiery darts. This speaks of flaming arrows and darts that would hit the shield and not reach their destination. The problem is people try to protect themselves from trouble in different ways and not use the shield of faith. They try to work things out in their own way. They're doing this or doing that and think they can handle it, and they can't. We can't. We have to use the shield of faith. Because it'll get so close to us, we can see it and feel it. We have to use the shield of faith. Where all our understanding is gone, where everything is gone, but just that dart coming at us, right there, God, aren't you going to do anything? And if we doubt God, we're going to go through it again. But if we keep up our faith, boom, it falls to the ground. Victory. We did it. This word fiery in verse 16, pertu in the Greek, it means to be inflamed, ignited. So these were missiles or flying objects and spears or arrows, all kinds of projectiles thrown at these soldiers. Sometimes little flaming darts, sometimes burning arrows or spears. That's the picture we get here. We need that armor. Take the shield of faith. We're protected from all the enemy's attack, his arrows, his darts. Sometimes they would dip them in fire, some inflammable substance lit on fire, and sometimes poison was used. But the shield can stop it all. All of it. Faith is a weapon for, you know, is a defensive weapon for us. He attacks our mind, our heart, our whole being, the enemy. We need the shield of faith. Sometimes, many times, the edges of the shields were such that they could interlock. And you get the picture? We could stand as one unit, all interlocked with your shield. Stand together, march together. That's the way they would use the shield at times. That's why they were able to have this empire. They use these kind of things. See, they could interlock and become a solid wall of shields. You know what that gives us a picture of? The church. We need to be one in the church. Lock arms together. Gospel on our feet. Using the shield of faith. Because Satan's going to test our faith. He's going to bring doubt. Let's turn to the book of 1 John chapter 5. Way near the end. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And we're overcomers because we're born of God, born again. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our victory over the world is our faith. So that last armor we spoke of today, the shield of faith, will quench all. Do you notice that in verse 16? You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Maybe today, that's the part of the armor you need. And it hasn't been up there protecting you. Get it up there. Know God, know his word, and have faith in God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for the armor of God. And Lord, as we partake of communion today, we pray that we would remember the gospel of peace, the gospel that reconciled us to you, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Let us remember that, Lord, that we are strong in him. We are weak in ourselves. And communion is for believers to remember what Jesus has done for them, giving up his body and blood for us. So if you are a Christian, partake with us. But if not, please don't blaspheme him. But please, just believe in him today and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And it'll be a wonderful moment for you, acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to say a prayer, and this is between you and God. If you want to give your life over to Jesus Christ, get a reservation in heaven, have your sins forgiven, this is what you need to do. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Confess your sin before God. Repent of your sin, which means turn from sin to God and start living for him. It means acknowledging that you need him. And then you personally ask him into your life and start living for him. And if you believe that and you desire that, just repeat this prayer to God. It's between you and him. And Jesus will come in as you invite him in and take over. And you will become a new person in Christ. Dear God in heaven, I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for my sin and having offended you. Thank you so much, God, for your love for me, for sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sin so I won't have to. I believe that, Lord, and I want to become a Christian. So I now ask Jesus to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I have decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. I want you, Lord. I surrender all to you. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Holy Spirit, and write my name in your book of life. I now invite you in, Jesus. Please take over and make me a new person. Thank you for forgiving me and accepting me into your kingdom, God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.